This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
There's nothing I can say, nothing I can do, hey!
And Chad P.
Love gets you high. Just trying to do a full intro.
Oh, God, please stop this!
Class is in.
Totally swine, flea, completely and 100% swine flu free. This is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns, broadcasting from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University, where I'm a teacher, a professor, a man who gives good grades. Sitting next to me is...
My name is Chad Payne.
Oh, and Chad is doing his, what is that, Maurice or is that Barry Gibb?
That's Barry Gibb.
Oh, Barry Gibb. Very good. I'll do Maurice. Okay. No. No, don't.
Do you have anything to say, Maurice?
No, no, don't.
I love that.
Now, here, Chad is tipping the topic for today, which is disco.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's right. Don't go reaching for the on-off switch. Now, let me tell you where the topic came from. I'm using my iPodial device in the car. We have one of those newer cars where you can... That's right, we're helping the economy. We bought a car. Where you can plug the iPod right into it and then push a little button and a voice goes, "What do you want to listen to?" And I said, "Kiss, play Kiss." And on comes, "I was made for loving you, baby." And my wife says, "That's disco." And I said, "Yeah, Kiss went disco on one of their albums, and it really upset a lot of fans." And she said, "Anybody else do that?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, Rod Stewart, you know, if you want my body, and you think I'm sick." And you go, oh.
And then the little red on-air light above your head went off.
Right at the tip, the point of that little tip under my head, and planes began avoiding me. And said, show topic.
Yep.
In the 70s, the genre of disco was so strong that major rock and roll bands, not all of them, but some of them, and I mean major bands, decided to try disco. And they took their sound to disco. And I thought, is there a show in this? Have enough bands did it? Well, I've made two for you. I said Kiss. I said Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart actually had a heck of a time tearing himself back into the good graces of those that loved him. Oh, yeah. We'll start with a Frank Zappa tune, because I love Frank Zappa, and he made fun of it. He put out an album called Chic Your Booty, which is making fun of the term shake your booty.
Right.
But he did one called Dancing Fool, which is just making fun of every one of these people that decided to go disco. We'll play that. We'll come back. We'll talk about disco. We'll play some of these people. We'll have some fun. See if we can't entertain you for an hour. So you ready?
Yes.
Zappa, Rock School.
Oh, love your nails. You must be a Libra. Your place or mine.
Yes.
I love Frank
Zappa. You gotta
Zappa.
Love Frank. I just love him to death. Disco today
now
on Rock School.
Let's change the topic to people that make fun of disco.
I couldn't come up with
it. It's easier.
Well, they got Disco Duck by Rick Dees and his cast of idiots. He was a disc jockey out of Los Angeles, and he had sort of a Donald Duck character do it. But what is disco? Let's do a little bit of a back out here.
Well, right now it's a punchline.
Yeah, it is.
But what was it?
Disco just simply came out of the term discotheque.
Okay.
When you went to a discotheque, it was a French word. It meant a place to dance.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said disco, it became a verb, just as Google was the name of a website. Google became a verb. I'm going to go Google something.
Gotcha.
It became a form of music that a lot of people say grew out of 1960s Philly, maybe Motown music, but mm-hmm. it was just simply a form of music that was created to dance.
Okay.
If you need to literally put your finger on a song that said, what was the first disco hit? It's kind of hard to say what was the first one to hit the chart, but what was the first one to hit number one? Now, you're talking just my opinion here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 1974's The Hughes Corporation, Rock the Boat. Remember that? Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat, don't flip the boat over.
Mm.
I think that was the first disco hit. Now, someone's going to say, that's not really disco. Well, there in any form of music, there's no such thing as, boom, the music has begun.
Okay.
You know, maybe with grunge, with the introduction of Nirvana.
Right.
But there was no, boom, disco has begun. If you want to blame disco on a human being, you can blame it on one guy, Giorgio Moroder. He was an Italian music producer who looked at this woman named Donna Summer and said, I can turn you into a star. Mm. And Donna Summer's heavy bass, synthesizer, horn section, he really, set the whole thing up. So if one guy is responsible for it, probably Giorgio Moroder, and I think the Hughes Corporation rocked the boat. 1974, first number one disco hit. Now, I said earlier that major groups went disco.
Yes.
Stones.
The
Rolling Stones,
went
yeah.
disco?
They went disco a couple times. I got two that I brought along. Miss You was, I think, their biggest disco hit, but the one that sounds more disco was Emotional Rescue, came out in 1980. They recorded it in 1979. Listen to Mick Jagger sing. It's all falsetto. He's making fun of disco singers, or he's mimicking them. Either way, it's the Stones, their disco. It's Emotional Rescue, as we do disco on Rock School. Kids love hot dogs.
That's horrible.
I know. Isn't it bad?
It's very bad.
And you would think that would have killed the Rolling Stones. Oh, no. They're the Stones.
They loved it. Yay!
They could come out and just kind of go, do-do-do-do-do, put it out as a single, hit, and then come out and put out another fantastic album.
Okay, so you, can I help you? Yeah, you have that new one by the Stones, that do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah,
can you play
we
that,
can
please?
Play that. Yeah, that was terrible. Now, you were saying off-air, now look, you mentioned Kiss, you mentioned Rod Stewart.
Yeah,
which one do you want?
I want Kiss.
Kiss, okay, we'll play Kiss coming up.
I want the song that inspired this whole show, because right
yeah.
now, we're talking, and then as soon as we turn the mics off, we're cracking up.
Yeah, that was when he goes into the talk right there in the middle and he tries to invoke the concept of a man on a royal steed coming across the desert.
That's horrible.
For your give me a break. And what's funny is in the 1970s, 1979, when that was actually getting played at Studio 54, you have to know that people were, number one, coked out of their heads.
Uh-huh.
That we're listening to that and saying that,
mouthing
the words.
Two ladies, that was probably sexy.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
it when he talks when he talks about the nighting chef. I feel like I got swine flu all over my hands.
You're so handsome in your double knit and faux silk shirt with large hairy chest and gold chains. Icky.
Yeah.
Okay, on to Kiss. Kiss actually put this song out, I Was Made for Loving You, on their 1979 album Dynasty. What's funny about it is the thing was the band's second gold single and finally, when it was finished, sold over a million copies. This thing was a massive hit. Remember we talked a while ago about Best American Bands and one of the things we set up was the concept of pop rock.
Yes.
And it could really be a double-edged sword. Yes, you have great success for a while, but then, it's popularity.
Mm-hmm.
You have great success, and then you become a punchline.
Exactly.
Barry Manilow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, you put out these disco songs, they have great success, and then the music formula dies,
yep.
and you become a joke. Kiss actually performs this song in concert, but what they do is say, here's the way the song should have been written, and they perform it as a rock song.
Oh.
But here it is. As a disco puppy, I was made for loving you. Gene Simmons, in glitzy eye makeup.
Ah.
Kiss, Rock School. With the falsetto, why does every disco song have to have a falsetto in it? I don't remember that.
It's a prerequisite.
I didn't know that. I had no idea that it was an actual prerequisite to have falsetto inside
of that.
Better
be able to do one.
I didn't know that. No, that was really bad, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, they're all bad.
Yeah.
You're joking with me, right? We're 19 minutes in. Now, this is only going to be a half topic.
Oh, no. Look
the
at
last
this.
30 minutes, we're going to do some metal or something,
There's
right?
every song, and look, I brought four additional just in case we, you know, run out of music.
Dude, I don't know if I can take it.
Yes, you can. Stand strong. Hello, WESU Middletown, Connecticut. Thanks for running Rock School.
Hey, KLSU Tiger Radio 91.1 Baton Rouge.
Of course we're on. Yes, there you go. And of course we're on iTunes. Now, remember this. I pointed out that major rock bands went disco during the 1970s. There's even bands that you would think, no, not them. It's impossible.
Such as?
Not the Grateful Dead.
No,
not the Grateful Dead.
Oh, let me guess, you brought some music.
Yeah, in fact, you're going to probably want to cue that up.
Man, dude, I'm leaving.
Back in 1 minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about a very short period of time in rock and roll when disco was huge and some of the biggest rock bands decided, we'll cash in on this.
Yeah, and lucky
we'll
for
go
us,
disco.
There's enough material to fill 60 minutes.
That it is. There's this guy named Tom Moulton. Now, I already said Giorgio Moroder was the guy who came up with the general sound of disco. This guy named Tom Moulton, he's an American record producer. He decided, why don't we take an entire side of a 12-inch single, you know, a 33 and a third size record?
Yep.
We can take one song and we can set the song to a drum beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A rhythm track.
Yeah.
And then what I can do is go in and cut the song again and again and again. And so I can make this little 3-minute song last 12 minutes.
Oh, great.
15 minutes.
A loop.
20 minutes. Right. A loop. Tom Moulton, by doing this, has been given the moniker of the father of the disco remix. So if you're looking for two people to blame, Giorgio Moroder came up with the sound, and Tom Moulton is the guy that came up with the concept of remix.
Hmm.
He's also the guy that figured out that you could put singles on top of 12 inch 33 and a third size
Thanks a lot,
records.
Tom.
That's right. Now the Grateful Dead did a song called Shakedown Street. I'm not sure they were serious. They may have been making a joke, but either way, it's a disco hit.
I mean, are you serious? The Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Jerry Garcia.
That's right. As a matter of fact, Jerry Garcia wrote it.
Oh, it had to be a joke.
Along with a guy named Robert Hunter. If in case you're wondering, a shakedown street, this is a term they use for outside of their concert venue. You know, you can go and buy all the little purple and yellow and blue and green bears. And they also had tie-dyed shirts. You know how people followed them around
right.
and such. Shakedown Street is where all the little booths were where you could buy stuff.
Okay.
They called that Shakedown Street. You ready?
I guess.
1978, Grateful Dead, Rock School. Hey, hear that slapping bass?
Uh-huh.
Bat, 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 bat. Yeah, there's general genre things inside of disco. That little plunky guitar, that slapping bass, and things that set it aside. And there was no falsetto inside of that one.
No.
I don't know. Do you think that was an actual song, or do you think they were making fun of disco? Was that a Frank Zappa type thing?
I maintain my opinion that that is a joke.
I think that was a joke as well, but still disco. Welcome to the bottom of the hour. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
There you are, and thank you all for listening. Let's do something we've been doing in the bottom of the hour now since the beginning of the year. 7 days in 70 seconds where we take some time and tell you something that happened on each day way back when in music history, April 27th, a Monday, through May 3rd, a Sunday. Chad has that Monday.
Sure do. On Monday, April 27th, back in 2006, that was just a few years ago, Doc.
Yep.
It was on Fiji. Keith Richards of the Stones is hospitalized with a head injury because he fell out of a palm tree.
Yeah, I remember that.
What are you doing climbing palm trees, Keith?
What's interesting about that is earlier, I mean, just a couple days before it happened, he was lounging around the pool totally naked and pictures of him got out.
Well, I mean, that I understand, but why are you climbing palm trees?
What do you mean that you understand?
Well, he's an old rocker.
April 28th, back in 1968, the rock opera Hair opens up on Broadway in New York, and it drives people nuts because there are naked people all over the stage.
Yeah, you know, don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah, me too.
April 29th in 1960, Mr. Dick Clark testified before the House of Representatives that he has never taken payola for the records that he featured on American Bandstand.
Yeah, but then he goes ahead and pays the fine. April 30th, back in 1992, Madonna's bustier is stolen from Fredericks of Hollywood. A $1,000 reward is offered for its return.
From who? Crime Stoppers?
Apparently.
Who did that?
Yeah.
On May 1st in 1967, that's when Elvis and Priscilla got married.
Oh, that's nice. May 2nd, back in 1956, for the first time in Billboard chart history, five singles are in both the pop and the R&B top 10. Crossovers occur. Heartbreak Hotel, Blue Suede Shoes, Long Tall Sally, Magic Touch by the Platters, and Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And then finally, Sunday, back in 19, that's his May 3rd, back in 1997, the notorious B.I.G. hits number one with Hypnotize.
Biggie
and that's
Small.
7 days in 70 seconds. Have you seen that movie?
Which one?
The B.I.G. movie. Is that out yet, or has that hit skipped and gone to DVD?
If it did, I didn't see it, but no.
Saturday Night Fever was in 1977, and the big thing in there was the white suit. In case you're wondering, it went up for charity auction. Gene Siskel owns it, claims to have seen the movie 17 times, paid $17,000 for it.
Wow.
I don't know who owns it now, because Gene Siskel is no longer with us. John Travolta said he ran 2 miles a day and danced 3 hours daily to get in shape for the film. In the end, dropped 20 pounds, and apparently was in the best shape of his life and learned how to dance for the film. So, Saturday Night Fever. Now, we need to play one more disco tune for you. This group was known for having a disco influence, and they did something that disco did a lot. Brought in violins, cellos, and such. In fact, a lot of disco hits were based on classical hits.
Oh.
Beethoven songs were turned into hits. Mozart songs were turned into hits. And this guy, no exception to the rule. The Electric Light Orchestra. We'll shine a little love as we do disco. Rock School. Kind of have
a cavalry horseback riding theme to it.
That's right. Interestingly enough, Jeff Lynne actually said, I got a quote here from the back of the Discovery remaster where he talks about all of the songs. It says, quote, "It's a disco beat on this one. I know it's disco. I quite like a lot of things going on. A 40-piece string section." 40-piece?
40-piece.
Jeez.
40.
"It's very jolly, bouncy. I must have been in a very good mood when I wrote it." You don't remember? Remember the suite? You remember the suite? Ballroom Blitz?
Yes.
See, this is the thing. When you hear that we're doing disco, if you're coming in late and you're, wait a minute, what is this? This is Rock School. Where's Ozzy? Where's all of this? Why are you doing disco? Here's the thing. My wife and I were listening to Kiss, and we heard, "I was made for loving you, baby." And she said, that's disco. So many of these rock bands in the 70s that were known for hard stuff, decided to try their hand at disco because it was such a popular music form at the time. The Sweet, the Ballroom Blitz,
yeah.
Fox on the Run,
yeah.
Heavy, heavy stuff. No. They decided on their album Level Headed in 1978, I mean, this was the classic Sweet lineup, Connolly and Scott and Tucker and Steve Priest and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to put out an album and put on it a disco tune. And this is what it came out for. We're going to do this one called Love is Like Oxygen. And if you're wanting for disco to die, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about what may be, you've heard of the day the music died?
Yep.
We're going to come back and I'm going to tell you about supposedly the day the disco died. But first, love is like oxygen, Mac. You know, you get too much, you get too high. Not enough and you're going to die.
Gonna die.
Love gets you high. Just trying to do a full intro.
Oh, God, please stop this.
It's the Sweet on Rock School. That was not bad.
That's disco to me.
Yeah,
that's disco.
That is disco. Oh, yeah, that had all the things.
I have to disagree.
Oh, yeah, that had all the earmarks.
You have to have a slap-happy bass to have a disco song.
That had all the stuff. That had the falsetto. That had the under-distorted guitar. That was disco. Oh, yeah, at least that was their attempt at it. Not everyone can do it. You have to have Giorgio Moroder behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. July 12th, 1979, the day disco died. If you were in Chicago and you had a few dollars, you may very well have been part of it. And we'll tell you the story in just one moment. Hello, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. Thanks for running Rock School.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana.
And iTunes. All the time on iTunes. Make sure you go in there and you do the, what do you call it when you click on it and it just sends it to you? Subscribe.
Subscribe.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe. I'm not subscribed, though. I need to subscribe because I get all these things, but I need to up our subscription rate so when people do searches, we get higher. I need to go in there and subscribe. That's what I'm going to do.
Don't do that.
I'm going to. It's like going in there and leaving a review for yourself.
You did that.
No, I didn't.
You got somebody to do it.
Well, yeah. But I need to go in and do it myself. These guys are stunning. And they'll be back in a minute on Rock School. Groovy, baby. Disco here on Rock School today, or at least bands that went disco. Now, July 12, 1979, known as the day disco died. Why?
Why?
In Chicago, some rock station DJs, a couple of guys named Steve Dahl and Gary Meisner, they hooked up with a guy named Michael Veek. He was the son of Chicago White Sox owner Bill Veek. What they did was they had a disco demolition night. They thought it would be kind of fun in a doubleheader between the Sox and the Detroit Tigers. So what they did is, you come out, you bring a disco record with you, right? Cute!
Okay.
So, game goes underway, Detroit Tigers win the first game, so number one, the Sox fans are not exactly pleased to begin with. They take all the disco records, and they put them out in center field, and they decide to blow them up.
What?
Okay. Boom! It goes off. Well, boom isn't enough for the crowd. The crowd goes nuts. They begin tearing out the seats.
What?
They begin throwing the seats down onto the exploded records,
okay.
Jumping out, tearing up the field, destroying everything out and around the disco. It turns into a full-fledged anti-disco riot, and all of the police that are there are making arrests and going nuts and getting these people out. So much damage was done to the field that the Sox had to forfeit the second game to the Tigers.
Oh, wow.
So the Tigers walk away with a double win because they won the first game. The stadium suffers thousands of dollars in damage. And basically, thanks to these two disc jockeys, and you know they apologized like crazy, but in private, they were doing the happy dance because this is the kind of stuff disc jockeys love.
Hey, Steve.
Oh,
yeah, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Look what we did.
Oh, frame those newspapers. These guys thought they were just the top of the heap for that day, basically proving that rock was about to defeat disco. July 12th, 1979. But we still have 15 minutes to go, and Rod Stewart thinks I'm sexy on Rock School. Sugar.
something not right about a couple guys sitting here in this room playing this music.
That's a joke, man.
It's weird.
Why don't you just go ahead and play the fat Scottish guy from Austin Powers?
Eximon. This is Rock School. Last break of the day. We got one more song for you here, and we'll finish up the disco show. It wasn't so bad. I just think it's a neat little section of rock music history that disco had such an impact and was such a dominant force of music that major rock bands, you got to remember, Rod Stewart was a rhythm and blues singer out of the UK that was just, I mean, he had a reputation for being solid on so many levels and went disco.
Well, I got to hand it to you. You did find a lot of material to use to back up the topic, and had this been something that you just would have told me out of conversation in the hallway, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah,
I really would not have believed you.
It happened. Well, I got some more here. Who else did I have? Queen. Queen went disco. Who else do I have here? Wings, Goodnight Tonight, Roxy Music, Love is the Drug. So I had those two and I didn't play them.
And I don't have a problem with bands doing that because I give every band that I listen to what I call an album mulligan. You know, in golf, you get a mulligan.
You get a freebie.
You get one freebie. You get one album that you're like, I like this one, that one, not so much. So if you want to waste your mulligan on a disco album, so be it. But you only get one.
That's right. And then you really have to win me back.
That's right.
Yeah. Studio 54, if July 12th, 1979 was the day that disco died, the gravestone was without a doubt Studio 54. It finally died and went away February 4th, 1980.
It's my birthday. That's the day I was born.
Is it really?
February 4th, 1980.
Well, then you came in just as the hedonism stopped.
I killed disco!
Woo! There, Chad, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Your birth killed disco. The end of the modern day Gomorrah was over. Cost you $8 to get in on that final day, and legend has it that Sylvester Stallone bought the last drink at Studio 54. Yeah, and what did he have? He had a... Yeah. Steve Rebell and Ian Schrager were found guilty of tax evasion, went to jail, and when they went in, the authorities went in and tore out the walls. They found gold, coke, money, and other valuables in the walls.
Wow.
They had to literally tear the place apart to find everything that these guys had. And disco finally came to an end, and the Stones and Rod Stewart and all these other great bands
sat around and said, now what?
Yeah, we probably have to go back to rocking out. Here's a guy that decided to do his own little bit of disco, and it was not bad. Boz Scaggs will take us out. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad Peake.
And that does it. Class is dismissed.